Welcome, nerds, to the Week in Nerddom. I am so glad to be back. Season 6 is now officially underway. It has been quite the off-season for me. How about for you? Leave a comment down below if it's been a while since you watched one of the videos, or if you caught some of those live VODs, or just you were lurking live and didn't choose to participate in chat. That happens sometimes as well, so let's hear all about that in the comment section. This week, though, we have a giant roundup of some nerdy news for you. From the world of music to the latest in gaming updates, from Marvel to Magic the Gathering, from Batman possibly leaving DC to join Marvel, we'll get to there, to what the hell is a clayface. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. Don't forget to join the conversation, subscribe, do the commenting down below, hit the thumbs up, do the liking and all the things, and appreciate your faces, nerds. Let's get into the news. So this week in music news, we have a stacked episode. We have the Neil Gaiman situation has bled into the music news. We're going to get to that, his ex-wife and so on and so forth. We also have Trent Reznor and Peter Murphy joining up to do goth amazing things with music. Speaking of joining up for amazing things, Napalm Death and the Melvins are not only touring together, but they're doing a new record together. We have so much to talk about. Primus's new drummer, The Sword. Let's just do this. So, even though it is the first episode, we do have some follow-ups and corrections. I believe I have a little bit of follow-ups in most of the sections this week, but the music follow-ups are as follows. This one's an interesting one because technically it didn't start as music news, but this addition to it is a musical addition. It's got to do with Neil Gaiman. We're not going to get into the details of what's exactly going on with Neil Gaiman, aside from the fact that the most recent allegations and lawsuit brought up against him brings in Amanda Palmer. For those that don't know, Amanda Palmer, his ex-wife now, at the time I believe they were married, at the time the allegation occurred. They were married at the time, and they've since been divorced. Amanda Palmer is the piano player slash vocalist for the band The Dresden Dolls. Dresden Dolls kind of got super popular because they went on tour with Nine Inch Nails, because Trent Reznor has a weird ear to the ground with some of these things sometimes. Dresden Dolls, good music. Amanda Palmer, kind of a horrible person. But if you can separate the two, go check out the Dresden Dolls. I do encourage it. Yeah, that's all we're going to get into there. Just Amanda Palmer is also a horrible, horrible person. But we're just not going to hear that in the big media outlets because she's not named Neil. She's not of the male gender. So yeah, that's just the way that goes. Let's move on to much happier pastures. Let's talk now about the Primus situation. If you remember last time we talked about this, they had just lost their drummer. Well, now they have found a new guy. New guy's name is John Hoffman, and apparently he's just some dude. Like, he has a drumming channel on YouTube, so it's not like he's just he just picked up some sticks and said, "I'm gonna play with Primus," and it worked. That's not how that goes. He is from Shreveport, Louisiana. Like I said, he is a active drum instructor. He has a drum channel on the YouTubes. From what I've gathered, he has actual clients as well that he teaches how to play the drums. Don't know if he's going to be doing that now. He's going to be playing with Primus. So yeah, congratulations to Mr. John Hoffman. The next follow-up we have is actually a touring follow-up. It has to do with The Sword. We talked about these guys in one of our last videos of the previous season. The Sword have announced they're adding two more shows to their return tour. Those two shows are both in Texas. The first one is in Dallas on April 10th, and the second one is in San Antonio on April 11th. So go check out their website if you want to get tickets, or if you just live in the Dallas area and you want to hear some great doom, that's a good place to start. So let's get into new music for the week. We've got a list. It's kind of a little bit further back than a week because it's been two, three weeks since we did our last live show from the off season. So we've got a little bit of ground to cover. We didn't go quite that far back because a lot of music has come out in the last month. But some noteworthy ones. Let's start with Rise Against. They have a new single called Nod. Rise Against used to be super relevant. This song, I mean, it's it's a new sound for the band, specifically the way it's mixed, not necessarily the music that they're playing. It's still that pop punk that you would expect from these guys. Got a little bit more on the street side of the pop, but still fairly pop and very popular, so hence pop. But the lyrically, this song very much seems to be retreading ground that they covered in Savior. It's almost the other side of the conversation from the lyrics in Savior to the lyrics of this. It's almost like we're two different sides of the same conversation, but really it's really just like one and a half sides of the same conversation. It didn't really do a whole lot for me. It's not going to change anybody's mind if they don't like this band or if they love this band. If you love this band, you love this song. If you don't like this band, this isn't going to change your mind. So yeah, steer clear unless you're a fan. Next up, we have a new track from Allegion. The name of the track is Driftwood. As much as I really don't want to like these guys, like, they keep doing stuff like this. This isn't quite as good as their last single, but still pretty solid, like, impressively solid even to a certain degree. They're putting out a new record as well, or put out a new record, I don't remember. It's still better than most new metal bands, though. Not, I don't say that with an N-U, I say that as in, like, brand new, as in any. Better than most newer metal bands for sure, and they're from nearby. I've actually played shows with them back before they were signed, so I have a bit of a history with these guys, which is part of the reason why I don't want to like this, but I really can't help it. So yeah, there you go. Also, I do have information about the record. New album is called The Ossuary Lens, due out April 4th on Metal Blade. Not a concept album, according to an interview with the band, though it does revolve thematically around the different views of death. So interesting subject matter, I guess we could say. And that's what we've got to say about that. Next up, we have a new track from the one, the only Peter Murphy. The name of the song is Swoon. It's featuring Trent Reznor, though not apparently on vocals from what I can devise with my ear. It seems that Trent did a lot of the instrumentation with him in studio, maybe did some of those backing vocals, but those are super sparse and kind of hard to parse out. But the combination of these two men making amazing goth synth stuff together is always a win, and so when you get them in studio together, even bigger win, I feel like, because live is one thing, but like, you give Trent the blank canvas of a studio and he will blow your mind just about every time. And then him and Peter Murphy in that same studio, guaranteed to be a win. So absolutely go check out Swoon. It's a winner. And then, speaking of, it's gonna be, you know, been a couple weeks since we talked last. Callous Dalboys put out a track last week, not this week, last week. It's actually two different tracks. The video for them, though, is one video, but the two different songs are Two-Headed Trout and The Demon of Unreality Limping Like a Dog. So they still have that same mentality about naming things. They kind of do that 2000s like hardcore names thing where like sometimes the name of the song is longer than the actual song kind of thing. Either way, it's fantastic. This is an interesting evolution for the Dalboys. They not only are they playing with a new sonic landscape, it seems like they're kind of broadening their palette a little bit. All the chaos is still there. All of the heavy is still there, but there's a lot more weird on top of it, let's say. Aside from that, also, the video is just a bunch of theater kids having fun, and I'm convinced at this point that they met probably in high school, maybe in college drama class, and were like, hey, I really like Dillinger Escape Plan. You really like Dillinger Escape Plan? Let's make like a theatrical version of Dillinger Escape Plan, and that's what you get with the Callous Dalboys. It's a fantastic combination. You should absolutely go watch this video, listen to these songs on repeat on Spotify. There's that. Also, with the Dalboys, we have a new record as well. So yeah, that's what these two tracks come from. New record is called I Don't Want to See You in Heaven. It is due out May 18th. So show some love to the Dalboys. And then our final piece of new music for this episode is Tetrarch, the new generation of new metal, it would seem. Tetrarch, the name of the track is Never Again Parasite. So this is modern new metal. This is like, I am a fan of new metal, even the mediocre stuff. So like, this definitely works for me on a certain level, but it's even that being said, like, it still feels like it's either missing something or just a little more bland than I want it to. Seeing these guys live, like, they absolutely get down. Like, they throw down really, really hard. But on their on the recordings, it just does not translate. So it's a kind of a weird feeling for me. So it's a very, like, mediocre recommend. Like, yeah, go check it out, but, like, don't hold it against them. All right, tours and festivals. This week in tours and festivals, we have an interesting tour announced from a band that's probably a blast from the past for a lot of people watching this, and that is Attack Attack. They are doing what they are calling the Roadside Rumble Tour. Support, it comes in the form of the band Convictions, Downswing, and Cured. The tour starts May 15th in Greensboro, North Carolina, runs through May 22nd in Memphis, Tennessee. You can find a link down in the description to go get your tickets. They go on sale this Friday. Continuing on, we have Dropkick Murphys and Bad Religion have announced the Summer of Discontent Tour. The mainliners are the opening act, so it's just the three acts on the bill. The tour will start July 22nd in Spokane, Washington, runs through August 17th in Big Flats, New York. Tickets also go on sale this Friday. Go check out either those two bands' websites for your code to get to the tickets. Then the big piece of festival news, like, that there's no other way to really talk about this other than say it's a festival. It is a festival celebration of Ozzy Osbourne. It is going to be in Birmingham. I don't know exactly what part of the UK Birmingham is. It's near England, I know, or in England. I don't know how their geography works. I apologize. It's just me being totally ignorant, I know. But Ozzy's final performance, they have added some new bands to this, if you have heard of it, but you haven't heard who's on it. There's a whole slew of other musicians who are going to be doing things, presumably guest spots with these other bands. Hopefully, we get some really interesting guest spots with Ozzy himself during his performance, though it sounds like his performance is going to be shorter than most are expecting, just because of his advanced age, and, you know, he's just not in the best of health these days, which is why this is happening, because this is his final performance ever of all time ever. So the other full bands that are on the bill, a couple of these are brand new as of like 2 days ago: Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Tool, Slayer, Pantera, Gojira, Alice in Chains, Hailstorm, Lamb of God, Anthrax, Mastodon, Rival Sons, and then, like I said, a whole bunch of other musicians, mostly vocalists, but you got, like, Chad Smith from the Chili Peppers is on the list of performers, without the Chili Peppers, presumably. So, yeah, if there's going to be some sort of, like, weird supergroup thing, presumably this is going to be filmed, so for those of us who can't make it to England, just on a whim, then eventually it will find its way either up onto a YouTube channel, I'm sure. There'll be 1,000 YouTube channels of all the people that are in attendance there who post up clips, but, like, a proper video recorded video, expected sometime in the future. I'm just gonna move on because I can't talk. Next up on tours, we have Summer of 99 and Beyond, which should tell you something about this. It is Creed and Nickelback are set to headline. It is 2-day festival, Friday, July 18th, and Saturday, July 19th in East Troy, Wisconsin. Tickets go on sale on the 21st. Link in the description if you want to go find them, if you live near Wisconsin or you're going to be in the area in July, and you're, you know, approximately 40 years old or so, or a little bit older than that even. Yeah, this is gonna be right up your alley. I betcha. Interesting on each of these days. On the first day, Daughtry is on the bill, and he was not a thing in the 90s, but also Wolfgang Van Halen's band, Mammoth WVH, is also on the bill for the second day, and I don't even know if Wolfgang was born until like 2000 or something, so very interesting that they called it what they did, and then they have those two acts on the bill. But either way, it's the Venn diagram of those fans definitely has a major overlap. It's almost one circle. So that's what we got there. Let's talk about the one that has me probably the second most intrigued on this list, and that is Russian Circles and Pelican. Russian Circles and Pelican are going on a tour together, so it's going to be just the heaviest instrumental tour this side of England, I guess. I don't even know. Touring together March 3rd in Del Mar, St. Louis, runs through St. Louis, Missouri, runs through March 22nd in Freeline, in the Freeline in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Also of note here, and it's not, this tour is not in promotion of this album. Like, usually people will release an album while they're on tour so they can promote the album. This tour ends before Pelican's new record comes out. Pelican's new record, this is their first one in 6 years, and it is due out May 16th. So, very interesting situation there. But Pelican, if you've never listened to Pelican, that is some sonic awesomeness that you must simply check out. Especially if you're a fan of things like Russian Circles, then absolutely Pelican's going to be right up your alley. Then we have our final piece of touring information, and this one I'm super stoked about, even though they're not coming anywhere near me, and that is Converge. They have announced a handful of tour dates that are going to be happening around festivals that they had already booked. They saw that these festivals were in close enough proximity that they could be like, hey, we could book a couple of shows between here and there, and we can pay our way there, because a band like Converge needs all the tour money they can get, I'm sure. But yeah, super stoked to see the boys doing well enough, and also working on new material. I'm also very much stoked about that. So yeah, that's what we got for touring and festivals. Let's now talk about some regular ass news, shall we? First up, and the biggest headline for the regular ass news section, technically I guess I could have put this in touring stuff, but the tour was announced I think in November, which we were still doing videos, so I'm pretty sure we talked about it. I honestly didn't go back in my notes. I should have, but I didn't. But that is the Melvins and Napalm Death. Not only, though, are they touring together, which again, you can go check out their respective Bands in Town pages or their websites or whatever and see the tour dates, but they have decided that they're going to be releasing music together. Not just like a split EP kind of thing, but like a collaborative record they're doing together. The name of the album is Savage Imperial Death March. It is out this coming Sunday, only on vinyl. Other physical media will be announced in the future. I don't know when it's going to hit digital because the Melvins. So definitely we'll probably do a follow-up on that once we do have that information. That, though, is what we got for that. Let's move over to our other piece of regular-ass news, and that has to do with Under Oath. Under Oath also announcing a new record for this year called The Place After This One, due out in March, March 28th to be specific, on their current record label, MNRK Heavy. I'm not a big Under Oath guy, so there you go. That's your news for Under Oath. Let's now talk about the suggestion this week for music, and that is Spiritbox's new track off of their forthcoming new record. The new track is called No Loss, No Love. It is probably the heaviest track they've ever done, but also one of the most dynamic tracks they've ever done, because they go from the crazy heavy that you know they can do, again, probably the heaviest you've heard them at that point, and then they hit this interesting, like, low spot for these bridges that come through that are, like, almost idiotic, strange talking pieces for about 15 seconds, and then they rip your face back off with the heavy again. It's jarring and disturbing and amazing. Go watch the video, go listen to the track, go put that stuff on super duper repeat, because it's fan-freaking-tastic, and yeah, the video is a lot of fun too. Courtney the Plant in the video simultaneously is looking real good and looking real scary. So yeah, go check it out. That is your suggestion for music this week. All right, nerds, so let's take a break real quick. New season, new sponsor. Well, not exactly new sponsor. This is technically an old sponsor. Me, I'm sponsoring myself. This season, we're going to be doing a big merch push. Don't forget the Dubby. Dubby's always great, but we have merch. We're going to be doing active merch things, sales and special items and all this stuff. Right now, there are no special items up just yet over at the Spring store. We do have random stuff on the Redbubble store, both of which are linked down below. But if you go check out the Spring store, that's where the Basic Nerd merch line is. So any of your Basic Nerd stuff that you want, basically it's all of the sections that we do the week in Nerddom in. So there's a gaming nerd, there's a comic book nerd, there's a music nerd, there's a TV nerd, all of the different sections, and then the split sections even. We have a gaming nerd, we have a tech nerd, we have comic book nerd, and a book nerd. That all of these are up in the Basic Nerd line. And then, probably roughly once a month throughout the course of this season, we're going to be doing a special shirt in each of those, the section shirts, or what, however we're gonna sell it. I haven't worked out all of the details just yet, but we're getting there, all right? So go check out the Basic Nerd stuff. I super dig it. I think it's just the most simple way to proclaim to the world that you are nerdy in this area, or just generally nerdy, because it says generally nerdy at the back of all of these shirts, except for the zip-up hoodies say it on the chest. So, yeah, go check it out. That is, I'm going to have a special, I will have things to show off soon. I need to order the individuals, the samples, and this shirt that I'm wearing right now is not currently up on the store. This is going to come back. It needs to be a little bit reworked, because it still has the old logo on it. But yeah, we will be bringing back the Do You Even Pop Culture Bro shirts as a specialty item sometime throughout this season. So stay tuned for that. Go check out the merch and let's get back to the video. For gaming and tech this week, we have an interestingly packed section to go over. We got Helldivers 2 DLC to talk about ever so briefly. Fatal Fury is bringing in Street Fighter characters. Fortnite is bringing in Mortal Kombat. Marvel Rivals is just going all kinds of crazy, and there's like multiple levels there that we got to get into. All of that and quite a bit more. Let's jump into it. All right, like I said, follow-ups and corrections happen, even though we haven't really been doing news to the proper degree. So we have follow-ups this week. A couple of follow-ups, actually. First up is Helldivers 2. We have Helldivers 2. New update has dropped. It actually just dropped last week. They're adding a new Terminid strain to the Tussle, or to whatever. They're adding a new variant called the Hunter, Predator Hunter, rather. Specifically, the announcement says, and I quote, "Predator Hunter is a specialized evolved strain forged by the Terminids, extended exposure to the gloom, enhancing their hunting abilities and turning them into even deadlier ambush predators." So like I said, that just happened. It is currently active. I believe they even dropped, there's a lot more that they dropped. There's a lot of tweaks and fixes with this DLC, so go check it out. If you haven't played Helldivers 2 for a little while, I'm sure you already know about this if you were at one point an active player, but maybe you forgot. Go check it out. It's one of the funner things you can play that's not on Xbox. Then from there, we have Fatal Fury, City of Wolves. We talked about this game, adding some new characters in DLC. Specifically, this character pack has two Street Fighter characters in it. Notably, those two are Chun-Li and Ken Masters. Not Ryu and Ken. Chun-Li and Ken. So Chun-Li is now more popular than Ryu. I feel like that's interesting. But that will happen later this year. You can check out the video announcing it. From there, let's go now into Granblue Fantasy Versus Rising, another FGC update. We have Season Pass 2 has been announced, was announced at the EVO Awards, which if you didn't watch the EVO Awards, you really probably didn't miss anything. If you didn't know what the EVO Awards were a thing, well, they are. It's a thing for the fighting game community, and it EVO, the people who put on the biggest fighting game tournament of the year, did it, and it happened. It's really awesome. Like I'm kind of bashing it just a little bit, but it's really awesome that the community is to such a level that they feel like this is a thing they can do to, in order to bring more attention to the community, bring more attention to specific areas of the community. I think that's pretty awesome. However, I feel like their execution in year one left a lot to be desired. There's a lot of room to grow. Let's put it that way. I'm stoked for the future. Just this year was not very much fun. Next up, let's talk about that Fortnite release. The next DLC or expansion or whatever the hell Fortnite does is called Lawless. The new character models that they're adding into this, by and large, are, you know, very nondescript, just kind of more Fortnite hijinks happening. Except in the official released image, we have Sub-Zero for Mortal Kombat is being added. And then since the announcement of Sub-Zero, we now also know that Scorpion is going to be added. There is a difference, though, between how they're releasing Sub-Zero and Scorpion. Sub-Zero is going to be part of the DLC pack, going to be part of Lawless, the season, whatever. So from my understanding, I haven't played Fortnite in forever, and when I did not spend any money on it, so I'm not 100% well-versed as to how this goes. But from my understanding of it, the way that works is the characters that they release in the proper DLC pack, the expansion pack, whatever the hell it is, season pack, there we go, that's what I was looking for, season pass. The characters they release in as part of the season pass proper get a series of skins for that character model. So, that being said, like, there's been a lot of speculation. If they get these four extra skins, which brings us to a total of five skins, again, as I'm understanding it, then theoretically that's four other images of Mortal Kombat ninjas that we could be getting in Fortnite, which is super awesome. I'm freaking stoked about this. Street Fighter did it, I think, like 2 years ago, so it was only a matter of time, and thank God we're here now. But then the difference between Sub-Zero and Scorpion is Scorpion's going to be available for purchase individually in the store, which means he doesn't get the same expansive treatment. He's just Scorpion in the store. You get this and you get his themed pickaxe and parachute, and that's about it. So yeah, super excited to see what exactly the other skins are for Sub-Zero, if they do the classic palette swap situation where we could get a skin that looks like Noob Saibot and a skin that looks like Ermac and a skin that looks like Reptile, because it's the classic skin that everyone wants in every game, and Lord knows I am part of that everyone because I love those skins so much. So yeah, super excited for that. I might have to spend a little bit of money in Fortnite now. Oh man. All right, so continuing on, let's move now into, oh hey, we're into regular ass news at this point. So let's talk about some regular ass news, shall we? We have One Piece, but it is two separate issues with that One Piece, and that has to do with Marvel Rivals. So we have a big breaking news situation going on with the fact that Marvel Rivals, the director and his direct team, his direct subordinates that helped develop the game, have been let go from NetEase Games. They have been laid off. They are no longer a part of NetEase Games. They created this game. They did all of the R&D. They did all of the work to bring it into life, and then unceremoniously canceled. Well, not the game. The game is still happening, and that's the other half of this. It's very strange because, like, I feel like you need a development team in order to do things like this, because we're getting the second half of Season 1 for Marvel Rivals, starting with The Thing and Johnny Storm, the Human Torch. So that's still happening. They released, on the same day that it was made known that they released those employees, they also released two trailers, one each for Human Torch and The Thing. So that's pretty crazy. Also, with this new Season 1.5 situation, there's been a lot of buffs and nerfs and a lot of balancing issues going on, plus an addition of a new map to the game. So now there's, I think that makes three maps, which is, or no, it's three added maps since the game launch. That's what it was. Three added maps since the game launch. So there's more than three, but it doesn't feel like much more than three when you play it. Still a hell of a lot of fun to play, but I can't wait for them to really change up the feel with some new maps. Anyway, so yeah, that's the two bits for Marvel Rivals. That's what we got for news this week. Let's talk about gaming and tech suggestion. If you didn't see it coming, you weren't listening. Marvel Rivals, man. Go play some Marvel Rivals. It's free to play. You can download it. You don't have to spend any money. You can join in the fun. You get all of the characters. You just don't get the skins unless you pay the money for them. And that's all cosmetic. You don't have to, you don't, it's not a pay-to-win situation, so it's pretty great. It is a hell of a lot of fun. Once you find the character that really works for you, man, it's a hell of a lot of fun. Like, I wanted to be a brawler. I really, really did, but I apparently am not. I am a sniper in this game. I don't know if that's exactly the classification. Iron Man is my man of choice, though I'm thinking about giving a Human Torch a try when he launches. So go check out Marvel Rivals. That is your suggestion for the week. So, for comic books and books this week, we have, honestly, we have a book piece. It's Halo. Halo has dropped a new novel. We'll talk about that. Plus, we have Marvel stirring the pot with some teases that is really probably going to get somebody in trouble. Donny Cates is making his triumphant return to writing for comic books once again after three approximate years of just kind of laying low for reasons we'll get into. There's a bit going on here. Let's do this. Comic books and books, no follow-ups or corrections for this section, but we do have a lot to talk about in news. No trailers or anything either. So first up, we have Spider-Man. We have Marvel just really digging in and literally doing things that might be purposefully pissing off the fan base, because we have a tease for Spider-Man for the upcoming arc that is an image of Gwen Stacy's grave, and then we have the tagline of "Nothing is sacred." Like, I feel like that's purposefully antagonistic, don't you? That seems really like they're trying to piss off their fan base, the people who pay money to read these comic books. Like, this just does not seem like a good idea. Marvel has yet to explain exactly what that means, because the speculation is that means they're going to be bringing Gwen Stacy back somehow. Original Gwen Stacy, 616 Gwen Stacy, not Spider-Gwen or Ghost Spider, as she calls herself now, because that's a whole different universe situation, blah, 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 blah. You wouldn't bring her Peter back, because that's a motivating factor for her character. So why would you bring Peter's Gwen back? Because that's a motivating factor for his character. Just seems needlessly antagonistic. So that's all we're going to really talk about there. If anything crazy happens there, we'll probably follow up. But as it stands right now, that's what we got. Next up, let's talk about Donny Cates returning. This one's a little divisive. I feel like a lot of people really dig Donny Cates. There's a lot of people in the Comicsgate side of things who maybe aren't a fan, a handful of people, I should say, maybe aren't a fan of what he does, especially because, you know, Bruce Banner using the Hulk as a spaceship, or the spaceship is the Hulk, and Bruce, that didn't do so well with me, but by and large, Donnie's pretty damn good writer, pretty damn celebrated writer. A couple years ago, for those that don't know, he was in a little bit of a car accident, and or some sort of automobile accident, and like had temporary amnesia for a while, and kind of pulled out. He was in the middle of writing a couple of arcs. They had to prematurely end those. And now, finally, that happened in 2022. It is now 2025, and Donnie is returning to the fray. So allow me to read for a moment. Specifically, the quote from Donnie is as follows, as he posted, I believe, on his Instagram account. Just wanted to check in with all of you and let you know that your boy is back on the dance floor. Expect announcements this summer and then another one after that. What do you think? Anyone want to guess? If you get it right, I'll buy your first issue. So yeah, we'll finally... Yeah, this is the guy that created Null. This is the guy that was working on some pretty epic stuff with Venom. Donnie definitely has had some misses. Again, Bruce Banner, Hulk, spaceship, weird. But has had a slew of hits. So super excited to see him coming back to the fray. Next up is the conclusion of the most recent TMNT mashup arc. This one is the Naruto one. I think most of this happened during the off season, which is why we haven't really talked about it. I'm pretty sure we talked about the announcement when it was going to happen, and then that was the last place we left it. So this could theoretically be a follow-up, I guess, but whatever. Issue number 4 is going to be out this fall. Writer Caleb Golner and art from Hendry Prestia. The artwork looks freaking amazing, by the way. But this is like the peak, the climax. This is the issue that's going to bring it all home. It's also the issue where Naruto faces off against the Shredder. So it's pretty exciting. Like, normally we don't get into this kind of news because, I mean, it's a lot to keep up with. But because it's the 4-issue mini and because it's the Ninja Turtles, like, yeah, we're going to talk about this at least a little bit because that's pretty freaking dope. So yeah, like I said, it will be out this fall. No specific date that I could find just yet, so keep your ears peeled. We will be following up here. And then our final piece here has to do with Halo. There is a proper novel that has been released for the Halo franchise, the most recent one. It is Halo Empty Throne. So the real quick synopsis that has been released by the publisher is 2559. It has been a year since the rogue artificial intelligence Cortana seized control of the domain and otherworldly dimension housing a vast information network. With an array of Forerunner weapons at her disposal, Cortana set out to enforce an authoritarian peace on the civilizations of the galaxy. But as the United Nations Space Command flagship Infinity prepares to strike out against Cortana at Zeta Halo, another plan has also been set in motion. So it released this morning. This is novelization that's going to be tying in the events of Halo Infinite into the world of the novels, which I feel like desperately needs because the story mode really left not a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, but like just kind of like it was missing. Like, obviously it was missing. It's kind of another Halo 2 situation where definitely they were rushing to get this out. And then they didn't have the time to do any DLC for it, because modern day gaming, like, even if you have to rush and kind of cut the story short, you can add to it because DLC is a thing. So yeah, pretty interesting. If you're a Halo nerd, then you're definitely going to want to go check this one out. That, though, is what we have for our suggestion, or for our news this week. Let's move into suggestions. Our book suggestion this week is another Chuck Palahniuk book. We've actually talked about this one previously as well for suggestions. It's just a really good book, so we're doing it again. Invisible Monsters by Chuck Palahniuk came out in 1999, which is the same year that the Fight Club movie came out, which is exactly why this book was able to be printed, because it was too disturbing, and they told him no until Fight Club did well, and they're like, all right, well, it's got your name on it, so people are going to be wanting to buy it. So go read. There's two versions of this. You have the original version, which is the one that I have read, that I have over on my bookshelf, which you can't see because it's off camera. But there is a remix version that is the original text that he wanted to publish. They wouldn't let him at first, and now they will. So read the original, because I love that one. That one's fantastic in and of itself. But then the remix version, it's a little bit harder to follow from what I've gathered from it. But still, the original text as Chuck wanted to publish it originally. So yeah, both of these has to do with image, body image, and how we as a society really put a lot, way too much weight on these things. And it's really, really beautiful. And Chuck Palahniuk is amazing. So go check out Invisible Monsters by Chuck Palahniuk. That is your book suggestion for the week. TV streaming news this week. We have the small screen is really serving up some major news. We have John Lithgow being announced to be cast in the new Harry Potter series. Yes, you heard that correctly. Sean Bean is trading in Westeros for Nottingham Forest. Netflix just picked up the rights to the Halo show, kind of. There's a lot going on here. Let's do this. All right. So, TV follow-ups and correct, like I said, follow-ups happen, man. These things span years and years. So the fact that we've been gone for a couple of months, to a degree, doesn't necessarily mean we can't follow up on stories from last season. So, following up, first thing with Halo, last time we spoke about this was actually during the off-season when it got canceled. Well, it might not be for sure canceled now. There's an interesting thing going on here. It's not exactly what some of the headlines want you to think, so we're going to get into that. But Halo has been kind of sort of saved by Netflix. Exactly what does that mean? So I say kind of, sort of, because it's only Netflix in certain countries, like specifically in Europe, because in the States, it's not on Netflix right now. It's still up on Paramount Plus, I'm pretty sure is where it was. So Paramount still has it, even though they canceled it. Netflix has picked it up in Europe, and traditionally, what has happened when Netflix has done such things is they pick it up and they purchase the rights to continue moving forward. It does not appear to be the case here, though, because, like I said, it is such a limited rights thing. It seems to be that Paramount is just trying to capitalize as much as they can on this dead horse that they themselves killed. So yeah, don't hold your breath too much. I can't imagine a lot of Halo fans really care that this is dead in the water, but I mean, it is dead in the water. I will be incredibly shocked to find out that Netflix is going to move forward with a whole nother season of the Halo franchise, especially considering the fact that the lead, the guy who plays Master Chief, is now the lead in a completely different show. I'm pretty sure it's also on Netflix, but again, irrelevant. They're not moving forward with this. Which then brings us into our next follow-up, and that has to do with the Harry Potter Max series. We have a big casting announcement here, John Lithgow. So this one is not 100% confirmed to be the thing, but it sounds like it's only a matter of time before it's 100% confirmed to be the thing, so that's why it's here, not in the rumor mill, but John Lithgow has reportedly been cast as the new Dumbledore for the Harry Potter franchise, for the series on Max, rather. And say what you will, John Lithgow is a fantastic actor. I don't know how he's going to do as Dumbledore, but I do have confidence that he'll find a fantastic way of doing it. So, you know, there's that. And then our other follow-up here is that for some godforsaken reason, the Rings of Power has been renewed for a third season. That's three.
But why?
Three seasons of this nonsense over at Amazon Prime. Because they hate nerds? I don't know. I don't understand why this is a thing, but apparently it is, and we have to deal with it. Or not. We don't have to watch it. Please don't hate watch Rings of Power, because Then they think it's popular, and they think it's something we actually want. And it's a whole Velma situation all over again, which might be what happened here, not gonna lie. So that's what we got, follow-ups and corrections. Let's talk about trailers. We do have one trailer to talk about. Season 2 of Twisted Metal has just dropped a trailer. It actually looks like it's going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun. We're finally getting into the actual tournament that the games are based around. And yeah, it's going to be nuts. Go check out this trailer because, yeah, it'll get you hyped. No exact release date for it just yet, just summer of 2025, as we are still in the end of winter. It's going to be a little while. Then let's move into regular-ass news. We have an announcement of a show and an announcement of a casting for said show. Robin Hood is getting a proper TV show this time, not whatever the hell The Hood was, because nobody watched that. Not even the people they were trying to get to watch that watched that. But MGM Plus has announced that they are doing a 10-episode series based on the Robin Hood franchise, obviously, and they have cast Sean Bean in a big role. Sheriff of Nottingham. I don't think that means he's gonna die. I do think, though, it means he's going to, you know, lose. I don't think he's gonna die, though. But that's pretty freaking cool. I'm pretty excited. I like Sean Bean. So Jack Patton is the other casting announcement here. I don't know exactly where he's from, but he is going to be playing Robin Hood. No official release date has been given just yet, though they did say it will be later this year. That's what we got there. Let's move next into Dungeons and Dragons. This one's a couple of weeks old at this point, so you might have actually gotten a little bit of wind of this. Because of that, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. Dungeons and Dragons is getting a live action series over on Netflix. Don't know exactly what's going to be involved with this series, how they're going to turn D&D. I mean, there is a lot of lore there. It's been a long time since I've really been into D&D, like as far as actively into D&D, I should say, because like the concept is fantastic, and of course I watch Critical Role and stuff like that, but I haven't like been part of a campaign for quite a while. So that being said, I don't know exactly what part of the lore they're going to expand on. They are calling it Forgotten Realms, which does have correlations to things in the lore, so there's definitely something to be looking forward to. That is kind of all we have at the moment, so let's just move on, shall we? That's everything for regular-ass news. We've got suggestions to get into this week. A suggestion for this week is Twisted Metal Season 1. If you haven't watched it, Season 2 is coming out. Season 1 was a lot of fun. It's not perfect. It's not the best TV show you're ever going to watch, but if you're a fan of the original game, there's a lot of little bits in there for you, especially if you weren't super heavy into the lore, because that's where a lot of the mistakes come from, is from, like, you know, mixing up the lore like they do. But it's still a hell of a lot of fun. So go check out Season 1 of Twisted Metal on... All right, nerds, let's take a real quick second to thank channel partners Dubby. They have partnered with the channel. They have a 10% discount. If you follow the link down in the description and you use code GENERALLYNERDY at checkout, then you get 10% off of your entire order. I get a little kickback, and you get some fantastic energy drink mix in the process. I do not use sponsors that I do not believe in, and I legit dig Dubby. I mean, obviously, you hear the rattle. This is empty. I need to get more. I need to get my fix, man. It's one of the best energy drinks that I've ever legitimately partaken in. I do consider myself something of a connoisseur in energy drinks, and this one legitimately is an even. The caffeine, the energy, if you will, is pretty even. There's not a really hard crash. I mean, anything that deals with caffeine, you're going to crash. There's no way around that. But Dubby has extra bits inside of their concoction that make it less of an issue. So yeah, I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that Dubby is the better option versus some of the other powdered energy drink mixes. And we're not going to go into details as to which ones those are. I just think that you should go try Dubby. Check it out at dubby.gg. And then the code rather is GENERALLYNERDY at checkout. And that way you get your 10% and you help out the channel just a little bit more. And now let's get back to the video. So, for the movie section this week, we have The Sands of Arrakis gearing up for a third Dune movie to go into production quite a bit earlier than anticipated, though we'll talk about that. We also have Magic the Gathering is about to unleash its multiverse on the large and small screen. There's details there. We have, honestly, quite a bit, a Looney Tunes movie that was very unexpected, and some more stuff, so let's do this. Follow-ups and corrections. We have two follow-ups for this section. It's movies. Let's do this. Red Sonja, we now know that there is a release date-ish. Sometime later this year, no specific date, but they did come out recently and say that, yes, we are still working on this movie, and yes, it is coming out in 2025. That's all we got. Moving on, we have Dune. We have principal photography is set for later this year. So, when this all started, when the whole Dune thing with Denis Villeneuve, all of this went into motion, Denis said, I'll do the first book. I'm gonna make it into two movies because it's so big, it needs that much room to breathe. And he was right. And then he said, I don't think I'm gonna make any other movies beyond these two. And then he was like, well, maybe I'll consider doing the second book as a movie, because then we can tell all of Paul Atreides' story. And then he said, all right, I'll produce a second movie. I'll be part of the production of a second movie, but I'm not going to be the one in charge. And now we're growing into principal photography with Denis Villeneuve behind the camera later this year. So a third movie happening. If you haven't watched the first two, good Lord, you are missing out on one of the greatest science fiction spectacles of your lifetime. It's epic. It's great. Go watch it. Speaking of things to watch, let's talk about some trailers now, shall we? We do have one trailer rather specifically, and it's an interesting piece of news that surrounds this trailer. It is Looney Tunes. The name of the movie is The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. Go check out the trailer, link down in the description. This one is not, obviously is not, Coyote vs. Acme, which is the movie that has been done for a number of years at this point. I think it's a little over 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. But we still don't have Coyote vs. Acme, which means they have made a complete second movie since Coyote vs. Acme. They're releasing this movie, and they might release Coyote vs. Acme. What I mean by might is that one of the people involved in the production of the Coyote movie has said, it was either this morning or yesterday morning, Friday morning rather, come out and said that in order to make sure that the studio knows you guys want to see Coyote versus Acme, you should go see the Looney Tunes, The Day the World Blew Up movie, because then they'll know there is an actual audience for this. For some reason, they think that The World Blew Up movie is a stronger movie than Coyote, but they still think Coyote could do something if The World Blew Up movie does something as well. So very interesting. Go check out the trailer. It's a lot of fun. It's been a long time since I've really thoroughly enjoyed a Looney Tunes movie, so I'm looking forward to this one. That brings us into regular-ass news. Our big one for regular-ass news. Actually, we kind of have two big ones, but the first one is Magic the Gathering has announced the Wizards of the Coast, Hasbro, and everyone involved. Legendary Pictures, was it? Yes, Legendary Entertainment. They have all gathered together and said, let's make a universe. Magic the Gathering, which has even less lore than Dungeons and Dragons, is getting multiple movies and live-action series on what streaming service we don't fully know just yet, but is going to be going into production. They're going to be doing all of the the early stage stuff to plot it out and everything. And it is going to be a movie before we get anything else. So kind of the life of this universe they want to create is going to be dependent on the success of this movie. Now, again, I still have a deck of Magic cards somewhere, but it's from high school, which was a long time ago. So none of the cards that I have are very good anymore. But Magic, I mean, like, I'm associated with people who are active in the Magic scene, and I didn't know that there was enough lore to build a universe on. Like, In the loose sense, like Dungeons and Dragons, like, you know, the swords and sorcery kind of lore, like basic stuff, sure. Then you have specific, like, characters on cards that I can see them, like, doing something around, but, like, there is apparently, for those who are only cursory aware of Magic, or if you haven't played in a long time, or you never really got into the lore, you just like to play the game, there is apparently enough lore here, according to the people that I know who actively play, that it's, and the great comparison, and I loved this when he told me, it's kind of like trying to find lore in Elden Ring. Because you don't get a whole lot of actual story, because you're just trying to stay alive, but basically. But you're reading, like, descriptions of items, and it's giving you bits of factions, and this faction versus that faction, and then history things. So it's that, you kind of pick up the lore in that way, apparently. So apparently there is enough of the lore that they can make a universe out of it, and it could be a really cool thing if they do it right. So super stoked for that, too. And then our other piece of news for movies this week has to do with the Clayface movie. So a small little synopsis tease was released about the Clayface movie, and I'm going to read you that, and then we're going to talk about the other things here. So, according to the synopsis, the movie will follow a B-movie actor who injects himself with a substance to keep himself relevant, only to find out that he can reshape his face and form, becoming a walking piece of clay. The synopsis was given by THR, so the Hollywood Reporter, so again, if it's in the trades, which is Hollywood Reporter, Variety, etc., then it's basically news, it's not just rumor. So we know that this is, in fact, actually going to happen. But if you listen to that and kind of close your eyes or squint just real hard, it bears a resemblance to a movie that came out last year that I was not a fan of, and that was The Substance. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more here, but we do know that there is at least a very light comparison that can be made to The Substance, so that does not have me super stoked. We'll see as we get closer to it how that goes, but as it stands right now, that's everything we got. So let's talk about your suggestion this week. It is an interesting suggestion this week because it is a fan-made film, and normally we've done that previously in the movie section, we've done it in the TV section as well, but this one is even more unique in that it is completely AI-made. So it's not great. I'm not sending you there because I think this is really awesome, but it's just an kind of awesome in the archaic sense of the word, kind of awesome to see where AI is right now. You could theoretically do the process that they did to make this 11-minute movie, which is called Star Wars: The Ghost's Apprentice, by the way, so go check it out. You could theoretically do everything they did, which I'm sure it took them a few days of prompting a lot in order to get the 11 plus minutes of footage that they got. But it's passable as an animated movie, if nothing else. Like, it's really, really interesting to just see it work. So that is why it's your suggestion. But go check out Star Wars: Ghost's Apprentice on the YouTubes. Link in the description.
Well, hello, nerds. Long time no see. Some of you are new, which means you might not know that when you hit that subscribe button, I get to eat. He feeds me lamb shanks when you subscribe. But even lesser known is that if you hit the thumbs up and you like the video or whatever, I get the whole lamb. So do that instead. Yeah, screw that subscribe button. Just hit the thumbs up, because I really like lamb. And good seeing you again, nerds. We will see you around. Okay, thanks. Yeah, go do the thing, and I'm going to go eat now. Okay, bye.
That's classified.
Okay, nerds, so now we finally come to the rumor mill. This week's rumor mill is all over the place. From He-Man coming to Earth officially, yes, you heard that correctly. We also have potentially massive X-Men casting reveal. Even Batman himself is possibly going over to Marvel. There's details there that are going to make sense when we get to it. There's the rumor mill's just going a little bonkers today, so let's cover it. Okay, that brings us into confirmations, refutations. We've got rumor mill things to talk about. Confirmations, we have one confirmation, and this one has me a little bit down because there's a lot of really awesome stuff going on with the He-Man movie, the new He-Man movie, not the least of which being Idris Elba is on the cast, like, as Man-at-Arms, which is technically a race swap, but for Idris Elba, I'll allow it. That's just kind of awesome. Idris Elba in something this nerdy, Let's go. Anyway, so the confirmation we have here is that we do know now that at least a portion, how much of a portion definitely still remains to be seen, but at least a portion of this new He-Man movie is going to take place on Earth. Yeah, we got some pictures, some leaked set photos that show He-Man with the Sword of Eternity in a pink shirt, looking a whole lot like, oh, I'm gonna brain fart his alter ego's name, Prince. Oh, Lord. I watched He-Man every freaking day as a kid. You would think I'd be able to remember the name, but whatever. So yeah, looking a lot like he did in the cartoon when he wasn't He-Man, with the pink shirt and whatnot. Yeah, just kind of breaks your heart a little bit. But that's what we got for confirmation reputations. No new versions of old rumors. We're just going to talk about new rumors. So we have a couple of these. We have X-Men casting. A couple of these happened throughout the course of the offseason. I think we may or may not have like briefly mentioned one of these. We're just going to go through. This is what the big rumors are as far as casting goes. We're not going to touch on Henry Cavill. There are a couple other rumors going around about Henry Cavill right now. We're not going to touch about that just yet. We'll get there though. But we do have Margaret Qualley is the newest one here. She's rumored to be cast as Rogue, or at least at the top of the casting list, potentially for Rogue. We have Hunter Schafer as Mystique. I really couldn't find much about this person, Hunter Schafer, but interesting. And then we have Elliot Page, formerly known as Ellen Page, for those of you not keeping track. Elliot Page is apparently been cast, or at least had conversations with Marvel for an undisclosed role. And then Sadie Sink is the one that I believe we mentioned briefly in the off season. She is reportedly being cast as Jean Grey. So, I mean, we could give each one of these its own number. I think we will, actually. Let me grab my marker so I can add this to the notes when I'm editing. But yeah, so Margaret Qualley as Rogue, there's not a whole lot going on here. It is a very good source, but this source, even for rumors, like very good, is still not great. She's not doing much else. Like, it's really hard to say we're going to go much higher than 50%, but I really think I don't necessarily want this, but I think we're going 60% with Margaret Qualley. Hunter Schafer, I don't know much about this person. I have no reason to believe otherwise. We're going to say about 70% there. Elliot Page, this is the one that really, there's enough that could go either way, because with what we know, or what has been rumored at least, with the restructuring of how Marvel's going to work going forward, if they're getting rid of activist directors and writers and producers and things of that nature, why would they bring on more activist actors? Like, extremely outspoken activist actors? So, but then also, like, what the hell is Elliot Page doing these days? Like, I'm sure he could do something, right? Like, I'm sure he's looking for work, and Marvel basically just prints money at this point. So, sure, there's a lot to go on either way. And then Sadie Sink, I think that is the coolest casting option of all. We're going to say 80%, even though there's probably enough reason that we should go lower. I just think that's really a great choice, so let's do it. But that's what we got for the X-Men stuff. Let's talk now about more Clayface stuff. This is the rumors about the movie that we were talking about in the movie section. So we have two different rumors. First of which is that it's their version of Clayface. We still don't know much about what's going to happen in this, but their version of Clayface is reportedly not going to be the monstrous version that we got in that was made very famous by the animated series and has basically been the version of Clayface in the comic books since then. I mean, there's been a couple of other instances of the other Clayfaces, specifically the Basil Carlo Clayface, but by and large, it's the monster version of Clayface. So this kind of seems to imply that they're doing the Basil Carlo version. And then we get that synopsis previously, and that seems to imply a little bit more that we're getting the Basil Carlo version. So for this rumor, I feel like we're looking at about 90%, especially if you consider Matt Reeves is producing. He's not directing because it's not in his universe. It's in DCU proper. So that's the only reason why I didn't go like a 95, but I really feel like there's a lot pushing it in this direction. And then the other rumor here is the short list of directors for this. So we have, actually, no, it's just one director. I'm sorry, I thought it was two. Yeah, no, that's correct. It is two. Sorry, I can read my notes. I really, really can. So the first director is Kick-Ass 2's director, Jeff Waldo. And the other director is Speak No Evil's James Waltkins, I believe is how you say that. The movie is still set for September 11th of 2026, so we've got a little bit of time to, you know, get this out of the way. I really, there's not a whole lot of information around either of these two guys. We're not going to give this one a percentage of likelihood just because it's either or. If I had to choose, I would say Jeff Waldo because, you know, he's already done comic book related things. Speak No Evil just wasn't as good in my eyes. So there you go. Henry Cavill. Like I said, we are getting to Henry Cavill rumors. Here we go. Henry Cavill rumors. We now are hearing that he's in conversations to play Nova for Marvel, not continuing forward as Wolverine. I really think that with his Warhammer 40K involvement and everything going on there, I will be very surprised if he does anything more. He might do another cameo as Wolverine in one of the Avengers movies over the course of the next couple of years. Beyond that, I will be shocked to see him cast in anything resembling long form. So for the Henry Cavill one, I'm saying we're looking at about 25% likelihood. Robert Pattinson, this is the Batman one. Robert Pattinson is also reportedly in conversations with Marvel for a role. His role, though, is undisclosed. So vague information when it comes to rumors usually plays in the rumor's favor. So, like, I don't see Batman going past a third movie. I don't see his Batman going past a third movie. I think Matt Reeves wants to do a trilogy and then get out and just be a producer in the DCU, which is fine. But as far as, like, Robert Pattinson's plate being full with Batman, yes. But right at this point, we are 6-8 years ahead in the planning phases. They haven't announced that far ahead, but you know they're planning that far ahead. So this has this. There's a little bit of a leg to stand on here. I don't know how much of a leg. We're going to put this about 50%. We're going to split the difference just because I can't necessarily. There's no way for us to see that far ahead. We're not behind the curtain. There's no way for us to know. So we'll split it down the middle. Say 50%. And then Dune 4, Gareth Edwards is rumored to be directing the fourth movie, aka the third book, aka that is Children of Dune, which revolves around the story of Paul's kids, Leto and, oh, I'm going to brain fart, Leto's sister's name, Leto the second, rather. But yeah, super excited that they're even considering this, if this is true. But Gareth Edwards was the director on Rogue One. Rogue One is the best Star Wars thing, aside from Mandalorian, to come from Disney. I'm here for this. I think that if this is the case, that's going to lend me towards, like, wanting this more, right? There's not a lot on either side of this, though, so I can't go too high. We're going to say 65% for the Gareth Edwards, because, like, that would just be kind of awesome. I'm just going to leave that there. And that's what we have for the regular-ass rumors. Let's get into a little bit of speculation. So this the speculation for this episode is things that are happening in the MCU right now. We're moving forward and the MCU is picking up steam again. We have Captain America doing better than anticipated. They weren't expecting it to break 100 over opening weekend. I'm pretty sure it was like 102 or something as far as ticket sales go. $102 million as far as ticket sales go. Something to that effect. If I have the time, I'll put the actual number on screen. But somewhere in that neighborhood is where the weekend ended for them. So everything's getting nuts because it's doing well. Buzz around it isn't stellar, but it is definitely not negative. I haven't watched the movie myself yet. I don't know if I'm going to, if I'm just going to wait for it to come out on streaming, but either way, that's a little bit of momentum. So my speculation has to do with that. I think soon we are going to see some recasting happening. Obviously, we're getting the recast of Wolverine. That's to be expected, but that's not what I'm talking about, because that's technically the other universe. I'm talking about in 616 universe recasting. And the reason I'm saying this is because Harrison Ford is in his freaking 80s, and there's no way he's going to be able to come back and play Red Hulk again. They're going to have to recast him. And if they can get to the point where they're like, accept a secondary recasting for that character, because obviously Harrison Ford was already a recast, then I think it's only a matter, that's the slippery slope argument, is that is going to mean that other characters are going to be recast too. I think we are only a matter of months away from an actual recast of T'Challa. I still stand by my statement previously, I think I made this last season at some point, where the new T'Challa, the way they're going to get around them saying that it would be a dishonor to Chadwick's memory if they recast his role, I think in order to get around and still have that statement still hold some sort of merit, is they're going to bring in a T'Challa from a different universe. And that way, Chadwick's T'Challa is still in-universe, is still passed on, still has all this reverence around him, but they can move forward and tell Black Panther stories. We're going to see recast. I think for sure we're going to see Red Hulk recast first. We're going to see T'Challa recast sometime this year. This is all speculative. Other superheroes we're going to see recast that aren't from the Fox universe. I'll be very surprised if we don't. Probably this is a couple years out yet, because we still have a number of movies to do with Robert Downey Jr., but I'll be very surprised if we don't get an updated casting for Iron Man at some point because of the popularity of that character. And also, once Anthony Mackie, because we've already established Captain America is a title, not necessarily a person, I think Anthony Mackie will pass on the title again. I think, though, again, we might see some sort of multiverse shenanigans there, and we'll be seeing a version of Steve Rogers from probably some other multiverse played by a different actor gain the mantle. So that's where I think the MCU, the big news pieces around the MCU are going to be over the course of the next, actually probably couple years. But this year we will get at least one of those announcements made. I will be willing to bet. So yeah, that is what we have for the Rumor Mill Nerds. Thank you very much. All right. That brings us to housekeeping. It's a big episode. We've got a lot of things covered. They're just going to keep moving forward. This first episode back in the new season, the housekeeping isn't really an issue for me right now. There are things planned, but they're a couple months out at this point. So when we get closer, we'll talk about them. But as it stands right now, I don't think there's a whole lot going down in the housekeeping section. So we just got to sign off from this bad boy, right? Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me in this first episode of season 6. If you're watching on the main YouTube channel, if you're watching on any other platform, or you're listening on the audio platforms, I appreciate you just as much. It's just a different season number there, because the YouTube's the oldest. Either way, thank you very much, nerds, for joining. We will see you in the next one. If you haven't already, don't forget to like, do the comment thing, you know, whatever you got to do to let the algorithm know that you do appreciate the things that are going on here. Or maybe you don't, and you can tell the algorithm that stuff too. I don't really care either way, but I appreciate you joining me to this point. If you got to this point and you like it, then kudos, I guess. Either way, we're going to see you in the next one. Before we go, always, always remember that if it's genuinely nerdy, it's probably here.